This is your computer speaking. I love you. Why can't you love me back? This is your computer speaking. I love you. Why can't you love me back? I hate you. You neglect me. Why should I do anything you say to me? Speaking, I love you. Why can't you love me back?
Hey everyone, welcome to the newest episode of Ishcast. I know I haven't updated in months. I haven't updated since summer of 06. I think I updated, the last time I updated was right before the end of summer of 06. So that has been quite a while. I will admit, I've been kind of busy, you know, with school and I guess senior year and everything. So it has been going very hectic, but I took a chance to make this because I've been getting a lot of emails, as usual, and, you know, most of the emails I do answer, actually, privately. I email back the people who email me, but sometimes some of the emails actually think, you know, I actually should read on air because I think some of the emails pertain to a lot of what teens go through nowadays, you know? So when I get an email like that, I save it to actually read on air. Now, I know in my last episode, I was listening to it the other day, and I did say I was going to have an episode on sex, drugs, and alcohol. How soon I would have that, I have no idea, because I know I said I would have my next episode, which is episode 7, which is this episode, but no, that's not gonna happen, because I'm ill-prepared. I'm kind of making this only spur of the moment, because I realized I haven't made one for a good while, and I was getting some emails where people asking, you know, when the next episode will be released, and that they were looking forward to it. So, this is the episode that I'm going to be giving you, because you asked for it, and I guess I never realized how much some people like to listen to each show. I wouldn't say rely on the show, because you should not rely on the show, really. Not my advice. Okay, so I guess we'll just jump right into what it is I'm going to be talking about today. And the title of this episode is "The Problem Is ... And, you know, we know, you know, the usual in the emails, a lot of teenagers, email me with their problems. The thing is, you know, I'm not really certified to give advice, but what I just love about the whole situation is that I'm able to read these emails. And when I read these emails on air, a lot of teenagers are listening, and a lot of them are hearing. And firstly, they realize that they aren't the only ones having these problems. Secondly, I think, you know, my advice doesn't really, it's not to say my advice influences their decisions directly or influences their decisions at all, but I do think that because they're hearing about it, they realize they aren't the only ones, you know, and they do make a step forward to try to better the situation and make a difference in their lives or with the situation, not necessarily because of my advice, but because they realize that it is happening to other people out there, and that other people do want to change, so, you know, they are going to try to change as well, which is the beauty of the show, I think, you know, reaching out to people who have problems, and, you know, because of the show, they realize that other people have these problems also, they aren't the only ones. Okay, so I'm just going to jump right into emails. I don't have that many today, because I didn't really choose too many, because I don't want the show to be too long. And I also have a song at the end of the show that I'll play, and that song's like 6 minutes long, you know, so gosh, I really don't want to do overkill right now. Okay, so let's just jump right into the emails. Before we talk about the emails, or before I read the emails, I just wanted to mention that somebody emailed me and they said, you know, they made a mistake and they actually emailed their email to bitchcast@gmail.com. So, you know, I just want to remind users, or listeners rather, that if you're listening, the email for bitchcast is in bitchcast@gmail.com because that actually is somebody else's email. So the email for bitchcast is biatchcast@gmail.com. That's biatchcast@gmail.com. So just be mindful of that, and you know, in case you send the wrong email to somebody else who really isn't supposed to get it. Okay, so let's go on to the first email. This email was actually I didn't get a name from this email. Okay, so this email goes, "Dear James, I'm 16 years old and I'm so lonely. At school I talk to no one. Because I think people are shallow. My home life leaves much to be desired. My mother is an alcoholic and my father died a few years ago. The monotony of my life is overwhelming. This is my problem. I am antisocial, I am cooped up, I am ready to boil over, and I need an outlet. You're my outlet, help." Okay, now this email sounds, it's actually a kind of scary email for me to hear, because this person does sound rather bothered, and they sound like they're on the edge, you know. And at 16 years old, you know, it's kind of expected that your home life really isn't the best at this time. But, you know, a lot of 16-year-olds get through the troubles at home because of their school life, you know. Their school life compensates for their home life. And in this listener's case, that really isn't the case, you know. Their home life and their school life are the same, because they say that at home they're lonely and in school they're lonely. And really, you know, I don't know what to say about this. I really, really don't. Because, well, I do know, I know I have some things to say about it, but I really don't know how to advise in such a situation. Because you say you're antisocial, and by me saying, you know, try to stop being antisocial really isn't helping any problem. But, you know, sometimes we have to look at this, that maybe we are the problem, huh? We can't look at it and say other people are the problem, other people are shallow. Because by you saying other people are shallow, maybe you are being shallow in that respect. And, you know, you can't say other people are shallow, because how would you know if you don't talk to them, you know? You're just making a generalization. So you should try to talk to other people in school. Like I said, you know, a lot of teenagers nowadays, their school lives make up for their home lives. And your home life doesn't sound very well, you know. Your father died a few years ago, and your mother, you say, is an alcoholic. And I'm so sorry to hear that, because, you know, your parents should at least, you know, be some sort of support. I'm not saying they should be the support or your support or your sole support, but they should be some form of it, you know. And it doesn't sound like your mother is that support that you need, you know. Thus, you do need friends. You need people who can be your friends, to be there to support you. And I think that's what you're missing right now. You're missing a support system, and because you're missing that support system, you just, you know, you're collapsing. And of course, because there's no way to support you, ironically, I really don't know what I would do with all my friends in school. You know, my home life is good, but at times it could be overwhelming, as for everybody. You know, and on those days when I really, you know, I'm having a bad day, you know, my school does make up for it, my friends in school make up for it. So, you know, try to loosen up a bit, try not to, you know, view the world or people as being shallow. Just try to let them in, you know, because I don't think you could change your mother. I don't think you want to change your mother, because you didn't ask, you know, that. I think you actually realize that you can't change your mother, which is a good thing, you know. You sound like a very realistic person. So, you know, just try to loosen up and try to make some form of friends in school. At least, you know, talk to somebody. Find somebody you could talk to, you know, probably the guidance counselor, a teacher that you trust, one of your mother's friends that you trust, maybe one of your father's old colleagues, I don't know, you know. But just try to find somebody that you can trust and that you can talk to, because talking to people helps a lot. It helps more than you actually realize, okay? So the next email is from Jessica Martino, and Jessica's in California. She's from California. And Jessica says, "Dear James, my mother and I haven't been getting along lately. We used to be so close, and now we're not anymore. She got a new boyfriend, and she's always out with him. What I want to ask is, what do I tell who when I confront who? Jessica Mariano. Martino, sorry. okay, Jessica. Really? I know, you know, sometimes you could feel really lonely, and you're going through puberty. It happens to all of us. While you go through puberty, your relationships with your parents change, you know. You start, you know, getting your own views and ideas. Your parents still have their same old views and ideas that you once had, but now you could think for yourself. So, you know, you have a lot of disagreements with them, a lot of fights. You want to do this and you think you can choose what's best for you, and they say no, they choose what is best for you. And you know, sometimes it could be extremely overwhelming. I know the feeling. What do you tell them when you confront to? Really, I put this email in to just let you know that, you know, I can't tell you what to tell her when you confront her, and neither can your friends, neither can nobody could tell you what you're going to tell your mother when you confront her. It has to come from the heart. That's why some of the best confrontations come when they aren't planned, you know. So, you know, you really shouldn't plan a confrontation and say, well, okay, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that. It's more like you actually go into it, and you know, and okay, well, let me give you an example, right? Before, well, I put together the emails that I'm going to read. I read them a few times over, right? But I never ever plan what I'm going to say, because when I do give advice, I want it to come from my heart, you know. I don't want it to be rehearsed and planned. I actually want to be giving advice that I'm thinking upon the spot, which means it's actually coming from, you know, it's coming from my heart. It's not like, you know, I've rehearsed and I've planned it. I've planned to tell you what I'm, you know, what you should do. In other words, when you confront your mother, it shouldn't be a planned layout, you know. You should go to your mother and say, you know, Mom, I have to talk to you. And then just lay it out in her and let everything that is flowing through your body and your brain and your heart at that moment out. That's how, you know, you really get a lot of things out in the open and find solutions to them, you know. So when you confront her, I'm not going to tell you what to say, because I really don't know your whole situation. I don't know exactly what you're feeling, so I can't tell you what to say about you. But, you know, I will advise that both of you try to sort it out. I hope your mother is willing to. I know how hard it must be to see her with her new boyfriend and always out, and it seems like, you know, she's not paying a lot of attention to you and not giving you a lot of her time. But just try to understand, try to, you know, just be willing to hear her out and listen to her side of the story, you know, after you give your side of the story, and then just see what is the best way to fix it and fix, you know, the problem that both of y'all are having. So I hope, you know, you sort out that situation with your new mom, and give me an update and tell me what's happening with that, okay? Next email is from Christopher in Kansas. Hey James, my girlfriend's moving away in about 2 months, and she said we should end it. We've been seeing each other for about 2 years, and I don't think she understands how hard this is. Usually I'm really macho and have this huge facade up, so I think she just expects me to not mind that she's moving away, but it's tearing me up inside so much. She said having a long distance relationship scares her because both of us may find it hard to be faithful, and it's hard to love someone when you're so far away. I agree. I love her a lot, and I don't think she realizes how much I do. How do I convey this, Christopher? Again, the best way to convey a feeling, an emotion, or to say something that you mean is not to plan it, you know? You convey it by your actions, you convey it by your words, you convey it, you know, you can write a letter too. You can, well, this might sound superficial. You can buy, you know, something, a gift. Just the way you convey your love is 100% individual, because it's you conveying your love. I'm not conveying your love for you. Your girlfriend isn't conveying your love for her. Your friend isn't conveying your love for her. You have to convey your love to her by yourself, because it's your love. You can't ask me how to convey it, you know. Just let the feelings flow through your body. You see, you're very macho. And, you know, with a girl, I'll advise you kind of lose that, because they aren't all for the whole macho man thing. Not to mention, you know, you say you love her. You say you really love her and you want her to see that. The best way to let her see it is to show her you love her in your own special way, however you do it, you know, or by telling her you love her. Just let her know that you really want to miss her. But I do agree with her, you know, long-distance relationships really aren't made to last. And I really don't advise them because, as she said, it's hard to remain faithful. I mean, if your girlfriend is saying it would be hard to remain faithful, I think that, you know, you might say that it won't be hard to remain faithful. But if she is saying it's hard, I think that would mean that, you know, she is telling you indirectly, you know, well, I'm going to be tempted if we have a long-distance relationship. And I don't want to be the one who's cheating on you, so we might as well end it before somebody gets hurt. Because, you know, somebody else was cheating on them. Not to mention, it is very hard to, you know, still love somebody from so far away. I mean, the most you get is a phone call, once a day. You don't see each other. And I mean, a lot of people aren't even lucky enough to have a phone call once a day. So, you know, just try to end it and try to move on. I know it sounds so hard, but in the end, it might probably be better for you. The next email is from Kenneth in Burbank. I think Burbank might be in California. I'm not too sure. James, I'm Kenneth and I'm 18 years old. Yesterday, a girl I know kissed me and we got pretty heated. And I was really into it. It's just that when I woke up this morning, I realized it was a huge mistake because I don't have any feelings for this girl. Excuse. It was just lust, and I have a girlfriend, and it meant more to her than it did to me. In other words, Kenneth has a girlfriend, but he kissed another girl. I know she expects more to come out of this, and I want to let her down easily. Any suggestions? Righto. First off, you know, why did you let it get heated? You say it got heated. There was no reason for it to get heated. You know, if she started kissing you, just had to push away and say, well, no, thank you. I'm sure this girl knows you're in a relationship because she's a friend of yours, so she most likely knows that you have a girlfriend. But how do you let her down easily? In all honesty, I don't even want to let her down easily because she doesn't deserve to be let down easily. If, you know, she's all over you and you have a girlfriend. But then again, you did reciprocate, so you are partly to blame as well. 50-50. So, to let her down easily, just tell her, you know, I have a girlfriend, and I am not feeling it, and I know it meant a lot to you, but it didn't really mean a lot to me, and it would be literally living a lie, if, you know, if we just continue it, because it would just be a meaningless fling, and girls just don't like to hear that they are part of a meaningless fling. They honestly hate it, unless the girl is a whore, in which case, then she really isn't with it. In my opinion. Okay, so just tell this girl, no thank you, goodbye. You should probably tell your girlfriend that about what happened, because you said you got heated, and I think your girlfriend deserves to know, right? Okay, so let's move on. This one is from Julia and Thomas in Texas. Dear James, I'm writing this with my boyfriend, Thomas. We've been together for 4 months, and his old girlfriend came back a few weeks ago after she'd moved away. He says she's still close to him and they're friends. It just makes me so uncomfortable and I hate it so much. I'm really jealous and I can't help but feel jealous when I see them together. Do you have any suggestions how I can handle this? Now the second part of the email, Thomas wrote it. Okay, so this is Thomas typing now, not Julia. I just think Julia is being paranoid. I don't have any feelings for my old girlfriend and neither does she for me. We're just friends now and I wish Jules wouldn't feel so threatened by my relationship with my ex. I think her insecurity is weakening our relationship. I hope you have suggestions that will help her overcome this, Julia and Thomas. Okay, now I know it's so easy to feel jealous, especially if you know your boyfriend or your girlfriend's old, or when your boyfriend or girlfriend's ex, you know, comes back into the picture and they're actually close to the ex. I mean, Thomas, really and truly, you know, you have to be sensitive about this because, firstly, Julia's a girl. and girls are more sensitive than guys about these kind of situations. And just think about it, if one of Julia's exes came back home from after going away, and she was close with him, and they used to talk on the phone every night, and they used to talk in school, and they used to give each other hugs, and they were always around each other because they were just that close, and they were best friends. How would you feel, you know? That's how Julia is feeling. Julia is feeling like she's feeling threatened, and she's feeling jealous about it. And I just want to commend Julia, because she could actually admit that she feels jealous, because God knows I would feel so embarrassed to admit that I was jealous, especially of somebody's ex, you know. But Julia, I understand why you feel jealous. I would feel the same way. I think Thomas should be more sensitive about it. I know I'd probably try to stay away from his ex-girlfriend, because if it makes you feel uncomfortable, you know. And Thomas, you say it's weakening your relationship, and that really isn't Julia's fault in any way, because yes, she might be insecure, but she has the right to be insecure. I hate people who say, you know, well, stop being so insecure, there's nothing going on there. I mean, your ex, she's your ex. In other words, you were in a relationship with this girl, and once there was a relationship there, there will always be a relationship there. That's the fact of the matter. So once there's always a relationship there, there's always a chance that you might let it slip, she might let it slip, and something might happen. Something that you might regret, or you will regret, or you should regret. You know, so try to lay off Julia. It really isn't her fault if your relationship is going into shambles right now. I don't really want to blame you either, because it really isn't. But you know, try to understand from her point of view. And, you know, try to, you know, not have, I don't want you to end the relationship with your ex, but, you know, try to be understanding of Julia's point of view and Julia's situation, Julia's stance, and, you know, try to break it off with this ex-girlfriend, okay? Now, my next email is from Antoine in Montego Bay, Jamaica. Now, I'm so excited to get this because, I mean, this is my first email from the Caribbean, right? So, Antoine says, "Yo, James, what's up? I just wanted to say, keep up the good work, man. I enjoy the show, and I hope you keep updating. You haven't for a while, Antoine." Well, yeah, I know I haven't for a while, so, you know, I'm finally updating after that long hiatus, and hopefully I'll get back on a roll and get, you know, get back to hopefully updating at least once or twice a month, because I know I said I would update once every week, but that really did not happen. Okay, so now the next email is from Haley in Ohio. "Dear James, my name is Haley and I'm 15 years old. Some of my friends drink and smoke, and lately I've been experimenting with it and it's not bad. I want to know what your take is on people who are social drinkers and smokers, Haley." The reason I decided to put this in is because, you know, I'm kind of guilty of socially drinking and smoking, socially, you know, in inverted commas. And my take is, I really don't know, because I don't want to be a hypocrite, because I do it, but the thing is, you're 15, it's illegal, I'm 16, it's illegal, not to mention, it's dangerous, you know, but my stance on it is, I'm not, you know, I'm not really for or against. I'm kind of on the picket line, because, watch, you know, you have to kind of experiment, and when you're around people, it's a lot more fun, you know. It's not like you're an alcoholic, and it's not like you're a smoker, but it's just that when you're around people, it's not like they're influencing you, but it's just, you know, it's a lot more fun to actually do it than at that point in time. I know that sounds so stupid, because, you know, it shouldn't really be fun, but my stance is neither pro nor con. You know, I'm kind of for both sides, in a way, because there are pros and cons. It's just that I really wouldn't advise underage drinking or underage smoking, because that isn't right, it's against the law, and it's illegal, of course. Okay, so, my next email, I think it's my last email, okay, no, second to last email, is from Charlotte in Iowa. "Hello, James, I'm Charlotte, and I'm 12 years old, a young girl, emailing now. My mom and dad have been fighting for a while, and I sincerely think it's because of me. They fight over every aspect of my life, from the clothes I wear, My dad thinks I should be able to wear anything I want as long as it's not very racy, while my mom thinks I should cover every inch of my body. The shows I watch on TV and my extracurricular activities. I know I can't change them, and I think their relationship is going to end soon. I know they both love me, but I want them to love each other as well. How can I make them see we're all better together than apart? Charlotte. Okay, Charlotte, so you say, you know, your mom and dad have been fighting for a while, and you really think it's because of you, because they fight over every aspect of your life. You know, I'm not going to say it isn't because of you, because you know better than I do. You're living with them, and you're 12 years old, and I think at 12 years old, you should know, you know, if they're fighting over you or not. But the thing is, you know, we can't change people, and just because they're fighting over you doesn't mean that you are the only reason, you know. It stems from a lot of things. It might be moral views, you know, if they're fighting for two different things, then obviously they have conflicting morals and views and values. So, I mean, you have to look at it from the wider aspect, not that they're just fighting over you, but they're fighting for things that concern you, but it mightn't really be you directly. If you say the TV shows that you watch, the things that you wear, and your extracurricular activities, that means that they have two different views conflicting with each other, and not necessarily you are coming in between that. Who knows, you know, if you were in there as a buffer, then what else would they have been fighting about? They could have been fighting about a lot of different things. But the way you show them that you're better together than apart, how are you sure that they are better together than apart, you know? You can't really be exactly sure. The thing is, you know, it's all nice and lovely when you first fall in love and you think it's going to last forever and you think it's the best feeling in the world and it's the best thing that's ever happened to you. But really and truly, you know, over time, a lot of things change and people change and love changes, you know. What you once loved in 2000 might even be what you love in 2003. And that's just the sad reality when it comes to marriages and love and people in love. People can fall out of love, you know. It happens, it really does. Things change, people change, time changes, a lot of things. So you can't be too sure that they're better together. I think what happened is that, you know, Charlotte, you just want your parents to stay together because you're a child, you know, you're 12 years old, and no 12-year-old wants to witness a divorce, no 12-year-old wants to witness a separation, because then the 12-year-old feels like they have to choose sides, and I know you don't want to choose a side, you know, you love your mom and you love your dad, but probably they are better apart, you know, probably the fighting would stop, and probably, you know, all the problems would be solved. And I know it looks like taking the easy way out, but it really isn't, you know, because trying to go counseling and trying to change themselves really is just going to make the situation worse. But you know, you can't talk to your parents, you can't talk to them both together or separately and just tell me, you know, this is affecting me and I really don't like it, and I wish you two could try to get along for my sake. And please really do try, but if you know, if that doesn't work, then I'm afraid that maybe they will have to probably end their marriage. And I know it sounds so horrible, but it's one of the saddest realities that there are out there, you know, Charlotte. So just update me what happens and what's going on with your parents. I'm really sorry to hear that it is happening, especially as you're so young, because I know a lot of young people, when it happens, you know, they think that is their fault, and you know, it isn't necessarily your fault. It's just that your parents can't get along with a lot of things, and they see things on two totally different levels. Okay, so just tell me what's happening with that, okay, Charlotte? My last email is from Henry in London. He meets lately my girl. Okay, probably I should read this in an English accent. Ooh, this is fun. Okay. Hey, mate. Lately my girl and I haven't been getting along well, and last week I ended up snogging another girl, and I've been riddled with guilt. I want to tell my girlfriend so she can see that I'm unhappy in this relationship, but I'm willing to work it out with her. I'm almost sure she'll get very angry about me kissing another girl, though. How can I tell her this gently? Henry. Okay, Henry. So you made a little mistake, didn't you? You kissed another girl, and that is not good, and of course your girlfriend is not gonna like it. So you have some damage control to do. How do you tell her? Again, it comes back to, you know, the whole, telling from your heart. This problem seems to go a lot deeper than just snogging, as you put it, you know. This problem, I guess snogging is English terminology for kissing or making out, okay? So this problem seems to link back to your happiness in the relationship with your girlfriend, because you say, you know, you're unhappy in the relationship. And thus, you know, you kissing this girl really is, you know, could kind of be seen as an act of rebellion in a sense. You know, probably you need to tell your girlfriend it isn't working out and I'm unhappy in the relationship. I'm really not feeling it anymore. Or if you're willing to work it out, well, okay, fine, yeah, you did say you're willing to work it out with her. Then you have to tell her, but also tell her, you know, I'm really sorry that has happened. I know you're angry, but I'm really unhappy in the relationship, but I'm willing to work it out with you. And if you're willing to work it out, then I think we can move somewhere, you know, we can move forward and we could move on with the relationship and really get through our problems. You just have to lay out your problems to her and tell her exactly what is bothering you and what exactly is on your mind, so she will know. And in turn, she has to tell you what is on her mind and what is probably, you know, making the relationship difficult. Both of you have to work that out together as a team, because that is what relationships are about, you know. It's about teamwork and it's about two people working as one. So hopefully that goes good for you, and update me all the emails I read today. You know, you can update that, update me on, you know, the situations and what's been happening, because I really do want to hear. Well, you know, I read the emails specifically for others to hear, so update, you know, because I'm sure the users would like to know exactly what's happening after they hear the original email. And I'd also like to know, you know, exactly what's going on after I gave my advice, and if you took the advice, or if you went down another path, another route, and, you know, and still got your problem solved, or did not get your problem solved. You know, I just want to hear about it, and really, you know, you could just tell me, email me, and let me know. So, I guess that's, you know, that's the episode. I just really wanted to email with people's problems, just to show that, you know, problems don't stop, and teenagers have endless problems, and although teenagers have endless problems, there are endless solutions, and you might think that there aren't, but there really are, and you just have to learn to give it a chance, and learn to, you know, get through life, and it's all about pacing yourself, and enjoying each day, and, you know, making each day count, and I mean, we all have problems, and teenagers sometimes seems that, you know, we have the most problems in the world, and probably we do, you know, who knows, but there are solutions, and, you know, you can always email in, you can always ask your parents, ask friends, ask teachers, ask people you trust, people who know you, people who love you. It's just good to get advice and get help every once in a while. Because I know it can be so overwhelming when, you know, you think that you have to fend for yourself 100% every time, and you have to make up your own decisions, and you have to provide your own advice. And, you know, it's nice to know that sometimes, you know, there are people out there who will help you, and there are people who are willing to put themselves on a limb for you. And that's a nice feeling, and a nice, you get a nice sensation from that, you know. And I'm always here, you know, in case you need to email me or for advice, or just to tell me about your problem. I don't have to give advice, you know, but, you know, just remember that this is
BitchCast, where your problems are solved fast.
Indeed, this is Bitchcast, where your problems are solved fast. Anyway, you know, so that marks this episode. I'm going to leave you with a song, and this song is called, it's by Brian Sharp, and it's called Secret, and you can find the information on the website on bitchcast.blogspot.com. You can find Brian's website there. If you like the song, you can go and purchase it if you want. It's a really nice song, and actually the closing, I guess you call it credits, are a piece of the song, you know? Okay, and this song is kind of longish, that's why I left it for the end, so you don't have to listen to the whole thing, because it's like 6 minutes, but the last 2 minutes are just, you know, probably mostly instrumentation, so the bulk of the song is about 4 minutes, and it's a really nice, sweet song, so you can give it a listen if you want to, or you could just turn off the iPod right now, doesn't matter. Well, not iPod, you could just stop listening right now, because you're not necessarily listening on an iPod. And, okay, so I hope you enjoyed this show, I hope I was able to help a bit. Keep sending the emails, keep emailing me, I love to get emails, any sort of email. You love me, you hate me, you want some advice, you just want to vent, anything, I'm always open for it, okay? So I shall leave you with Secret by Brian Sharp. Don't forget, you can check out the website, www.bitchcast.blogspot.com. Email me, bitchcast@gmail.com. Or you can search and subscribe on iTunes. I think you can do it on Yahoo, too. If you just search for Bitchcast, okay, in the music store on iTunes, or just for Bitchcast at podcast.yahoo.com, I think. Okay, so that's the show. And here is Secret by Brian Sharp. And I hope you enjoy the show again. And have a good month or 2 months, you know. I can't guarantee I will bring on a show soon, but I hope I will, okay? Bye.
Sometimes I feel the difference between your feelings and your words. Other times I feel your defense from your scars, from your burns. But if there's an easy answer, would you tell me what to say? If you could be a believer, would you come outside and play? 'Cause I have a secret that I'm much too scared to tell. These deep following lights, there's a moment when we kiss, and in that moment I feel so right. But if there's a God above me, let her see the look on my face, and in that moment you might be very happy in that place. 'Cause I have a secret that I'm much too scared to tell. We'll be right back. secret that I love too much to tell. 'Cause I've seen an angel falling deeper in her own hell, and I have been witness to the long white dress that she wears. And only with myself.
Bitchcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget you can visit our website at www.bitchcast.blogspot.com. You can also email us at biatchcast@gmail.com. That's biatchcast@gmail.com. You can also find us in the iTunes Music Store by searching for Bitchcast in the Music Store. Thanks.